She got me on record, but I don't even know the damn difference.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the April 19th, 2011 meeting of the Senate Committee on Business, Transportation, and Economic Development.
Yeah, I got
a few. We're going to work a few of these bills today. The ones that were related to, the ones that we will not work today include all of the tax credit bills. Senate Bill 764, Senate Bill 846. And let's see, 772, 955, 930, and 438, and 792 will not be worked today. We don't have paperwork on them. So we're going to start out with...
Read them all again.
Well, I just can clean the room.
872.
Rule suspension.
But I have to move.
Okay, I forgot how to turn this damn thing on.
People paying attention. So, as you'll recall, we had a vote yesterday on 817. There's been some interest in reconsidering that. So the chair would move.
Open a work session.
I don't have to open a work session to suspend the rules.
Okay.
The chair would move the suspension of the rules for the purpose of moving reconsideration of Senate Bill 817. Is there any discussion on that? Is there any opposition to the motion? There is none. The rules are suspended. The chair would move for reconsideration of the vote we took on Senate Bill 817.
Please open a work session.
All right, so we open a work session to reconsider the vote on Senate Bill 817. Any discussion? It's just a vote. Is there any opposition to reconsideration of the vote on which on 817? There is none. The reconsideration has passed. Senate Bill 817 is back in front of us, and we will take that up on Thursday. So we'll.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, before I close. Yes.
In the immortal words of Miracle Max from the movie Princess Bride, this bill was not dead. It was mostly dead.
Thank you, Senator. We will close the work session on Senate Bill 817, and we will open a work session on Senate Bill 766. Let's open a public hearing. We'll open a public hearing on 776, and I don't know if there's anybody who wishes to comment on that.
766.
I'll get the numbers. We have members. This is a brief thing, and I guess I would. We've been working this one to death. We have no one signed up, so I will just briefly tell you what's in this. We had a public hearing on this a while ago. We've been working this bill to try to get as many people as we could comfortable through it. There are a number of people involved in that and who have been seeing a number of the amendments through the days. The principal drafters on the bill have been Richard Whitman and with the able assistance of Mary Kyle McCurdy from the Thousand Friends and others. Essentially what the bill does is it creates a process for designation of significant, regionally significant industrial areas, and secondly, a process to advance or for an expedited review of projects that have conflicts with, may have permits required of state agency as well as local agencies. To expedite that, it creates a state council. To do that, that council is staffed by the Oregon Business Department, and it has the directors of the Departments of Land Conservation and Development, Transportation, Environmental Quality, and State Lands involved, as well as the option for a local elected official from any jurisdiction that's impacted by an application to participate in the decisions on that. All of the hearings procedures on any of these are much the same as they are. In fact, they're pretty much the same as they are under existing law. What else can I say about that? There is an expedited process required that goes, has a local hearing, and then has an appeal process that expedites it to the Court of Appeals. That's the fast track on it. So I would ask members if you want to discuss this today, or would you like to spend some time taking a look at it and do it on Thursday. That would be the quest. And I am in public hearing. I have no one that signed up, but if there's anybody who wishes to comment on the bill, I would welcome you to come forward.
Mr. Chair.
Senator, start.
Have the Dash 12 amendments been released?
Actually, yes, they have.
Okay, so
actually, we're up to the Dash 14s. The 13s and 14s were minor wordsmithing. They don't affect the overall bill.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
We haven't actually put in the Dash 12 amendments, right?
We have put nothing in yet.
Okay.
The Dash 1s through the Dash 14s were many tries at trying to satisfy everybody's concerns in the bill, which I don't think we accomplished.
Right.
But we got as far through as we could.
Time to go.
We do have some. So yes. So you want to move?
Giddy
up. People are comfortable. Okay, you want to, Richard, do you want to enter their written testimony?
Yeah, I have two pieces of written testimony, one from Thousand Friends of Oregon in support of it, Mary Kyle McCurdy, and I also have a letter from Richard Whitman writing to confirm the governor's support of this important legislation.
Okay.
There is also a fiscal on the Dash 14.
Last chance for public comment. Seeing none, we will close the public hearing and we will open a work session on Senate Bill 766. We have the Dash 14s in front of us. Richard, I think I've covered it. I'm not sure that you can do any more on it.
No, other than the Dash 4 is the amendment that I have the fiscal and revenue, so that one is able to move, and there is a fiscal statement in your packet. About $550,000
for the Dash 14s.
For the Dash 14s.
Yeah. Is the bill going to Ways and Means then?
It has to go to Ways and Means.
So would you like a motion, Mr. Chair?
I would.
I'd move the Dash 14 amendments to Senate Bill 766.
Senator Starr has moved the Dash 14 amendments to Senate Bill 766. Is there discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Burnett.
I haven't seen the Dash 14s. I'm looking for them as we speak. But does the Dash 14s include the protection, the exemption for the Portland waterfront?
It does.
Okay,
no further discussion. Is there opposition to adopting the Dash 14s? Seeing none, the Dash 14s to Senate Bill 766 have been adopted. Senator
Chair, I move the bill as amended by the Dash 14 amendments to the Committee on Ways and Means. With the due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved Senate Bill 766 as amended by the Dash 14s to Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on the motion? No discussion? Is there opposition?
I oppose it, Mr. Chair.
Is there any other opposition? Senate Bill 766, as amended by the Dash 14, is moved to Ways and Means with the due pass recommendation, with Senator Burdick in opposition. All other members support. We will close the work session on 766, and we will open a work session on 795. Richard.
Senate Bill 795 prohibits the Land Conservation and Development Commission from adopting or enforcing administrative rules requiring local governments to implement measure to ensure that land uses are consistent with function, capacity, and performance standards of transportation facilities. There are several amendments to this bill. The most recent, the latest amendment is the Dash 9, which requires the Transportation Commission and the Land Conservation Development Commission to review and revise rules, plans, and associated guidance documents to balance economic development and the efficiency of urban development.
And the Dash 9s are all-encompassing?
Yep.
Okay. Dash 9s?
Mr. Chair, I was hoping we would move the Dash 7s to the bill.
Okay. What was the difference?
Well, the Dash 7s, I understand, were the where we took the part of the rule and put it into the statute. What Mr. Whitlow had testified in our last public hearing on the bill.
We had a little issue with that. Imagine opposition from the guy who sits in the middle of the building.
So, Mr. Chair, you would entertain a motion on the Dash 9s?
I would.
Mm-hmm. I'd move the Dash 9 amendments to Senate Bill 795.
Thank you, Senator Starr. Senator Starr has moved the Dash 9 amendments to Senate Bill 795. Is there discussion? Is there opposition? There is none. The dash nines to Senate 9-5 are adopted. Senator Starr, would you like to move the bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I'd move the bill as amended by the dash nine amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved Senate Bill 795 as amended by the dash nines to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on the motion. Senator Starr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am going to strongly support this bill under the hopes that we have a process in this bill on this issue like we have had on the access management, where folks that come together, interest groups, stakeholders, legislators, members of the executive branch, and recognize the problem and work constructively to fix it.
Thank you, Senator.
I'm not generally a big proponent of creating a process task force, but I think that we saw it work pretty well in access management. I hope we can have a similar resolution and report back a bill for the February session.
Thank you, Senator. This is an issue that Senator Starr, among others I included, have worked a lot on. We were trying to write legislation around it, and the more we worked on it, the more complex we understood there was. And in talking with the governor's staff, among others, we're in the point of a trust us situation where the two departments have said we will address these problems by the end of the year. And the comment that I have made to them, and I think Senator Starr has too, is we will give you to the end of the year, and if it doesn't all work out, we'll see you in January. So I think this is a good faith effort. It worked on the access management, and I think this is a pretty clear directive. So any other comments?
My vote on this is a courtesy to keep it moving.
Senators recognized. Any other comments? Is there any opposition to the bill? There is none. Senate Bill 795 is amended by the dash nines is passed to the floor with a due pass by unanimous vote. We'll close that work session. We will open the work session on Senate Bill 863.
Carrier.
I'll carry it. And Senator Starr, unless you wanted to carry it.
I'd be happy to if you'd like me to. Otherwise, it's up to you.
Okay. I guess we don't need one in 766, so it's one the other. Go ahead, Richard.
Senate Bill 863 directs Public Utility Commission to report on strategies for increasing heating and energy bill assistance for low-income families. There is several amendments that have been set forth. The most recent amendment is the dash 4. It replaces the original measure. It requires the Citizens Utility Board, electric companies, or Oregon Community Power, whose ratepayers contribute to the low-income electric bill payment assistance fund, to provide membership on the Oregon Housing and Community Services Department Advisory Board. It directs the Advisory Committee to convene not less than 4 times a year. It authorizes the department to investigate and implement alternative delivery modes specified by the Advisory Committee. It requires electric company or Oregon Community Power, at the request of the Public Utility Commission, to collect an additional $5 million per 12-month period for residential customers for the low-income electric bill payment assistance if negative economic indicators meet certain triggers. There is a sunset, and it requires that it occur be authorized for a 12-month period and no more than a total of a 24-month period. So 2 years.
2 years. Let's see. We have a dash fours would be the appropriate.
We do have a fiscal impact statement on that. They don't give a specific number on this one.
So it has to go to Ways and Means? No, it doesn't.
I don't think there is a specific recommendation for Ways and Means, but they do have a discussion of the fiscal impact on this.
Alex, as you recall, this is a bill that was brought to us by utilities, the CAP, Community Action Agencies, and the Citizens Utility Board, recognizing the economic situation we're in now and the fact that Congress has significantly reduced what's referred to as the low-income heating program, LIHEAP. So this is a short-term, two-year effort to do that. To get the discussion going, the chair would move the dash 4 amendments to Senate Bill 863. Discussion on the bill, on the motion. Is there any opposition? Dash 4s are adopted. Chair moves Senate Bill 863 as amended by the dash 4s to the floor with the due pass. Discussion on the motion. No discussion. Is there any opposition? No opposition. Senate Bill 863 is amended by the dash 4s is passed to the floor with the due pass, and I will carry that one.
My shields to carry it? Shields probably wants to carry it.
Unless you wanted to carry it.
No, I said shields.
Shields. Oh, shields. Really? Well, ask him.
Ask shields.
All right. So we'll close on 863, and we'll take a chance on opening Senate Bill 219.
Senate Bill 219 establishes the Oregon Business Retention and Expansion Program to lend funds from the Oregon Business Retention and Expansion Program Fund to certified employers. There is testimony for the record from Lou Ogden, Mayor of Tualatin, in support, and a letter in opposition from Jody Weiser from Tax Fairness Oregon. There is a subsequent referral to
Ways and Means.
And we have a fiscal impact issued, indeterminate, and a revenue light issued.
And I would ask Tim McCabe, Director of the Business Oregon, to address this. I think we've worked on some amendments to this. It's been a while since we talked about this.
Chair Beyer, Vice Chair Atkinson, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Tim McCabe, Director of the Oregon Development Department. Just give you a really brief overview of why this bill is in front of you. Over the last 4 years, we've been approached by a number of companies, primarily high-tech companies that pay above-average wages, and we determined that we have no incentive for them other than the Governor's Strategic Reserve Fund. All of our business development funds, the Entrepreneurial Development Fund, the Oregon Business Development Fund, and our Credit Enhancement Fund are all aimed at small business, and we have nothing to incent large business to stay and grow in Oregon. We're working with a company right now that is in the process of making a decision to hire 275 employees at over $70,000 a year, which gives an estimated annual revenue to the state of $980,000. So they would qualify for $1.96 million under this incentive program. Those 275 jobs are either going to end up here in Texas or Malaysia. They've told us these are the three sites. They've got a facility in Texas. I don't know what Texas has put on the table, but I do know this. It's more than we can put on the table today because we don't have this fund to do that. So my concern around these is if we don't get those 275 jobs and this company continues growing like we think it's going to grow, the future growth probably won't happen here either. And there's always the danger of the existing 550 employees, which mean almost an annual revenue of $2 million to the state, they start moving those jobs. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but those are the things we want to guard against. We've got states and nations that look at our high-tech industries and monitor them. That's why Texas came into play on this, and I know they've made a substantial offer. So with that, I'll have Paul address the amendments.
Chair Beyer, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Paul Grove with the Business Development Department. And as Director McCabe noted, Senate Bill 219, the initial award, the one-time award, is based on 2 years of the estimated income tax revenue that would be generated by the new hires. And the requirements of the program, as outlined in the bill, are that the company plans to hire 50 or more employees. They have 150 employees at the time of application, and the wages are 150% of the state average or the county average, whichever is less. The amendments, in particular, clarify that the some of the definitions, first and foremost, around the fact that we're dealing with estimated income tax revenues and not the actuals, and that we clarify the salary range for an eligible applicant. Again, the Dash 1 amendments also talk to throughout the bill in other sections, emphasizing and clarifying the estimated nature of the revenues that we'll be working with in consultation with the Department of Revenue. The third main item in the Dash 1 amendments is a rolling distribution schedule for those monies. So the plan of the program, or the aim of the program, is to create a self-sustaining fund so that we don't have to deplete the resources in the strategic reserve and other programs. And so in Section 9 of the bill, this sets forth a distribution schedule where monies would go back to support the program and to the general fund.
Tim, besides the one company you mentioned, has this issue come up before?
Senator Beyer, members of the committee, yes, it's that's why Mayor Lou Ogden sent a letter of support. This issue came up with Novellus in Tualatin. That's in Senator Devlin's district, and he's the one who introduced the bill. We put $400,000 of strategic reserve fund towards them moving the jobs up here. They agreed to move 130 jobs. They've moved 200 jobs. That $400,000 has been paid back four times. You know, but the strategic reserve fund is depleted by $400,000, but almost $2 million has gone to the general fund as a result of that investment. And so Novellus actually helped us craft this, as did Intel. We brought industry experts in to talk about what their needs, how we can best address their needs. Another example, Chair Beyer, would be Tektronix came to us, approached us with moving jobs down from Bellingham to Beaverton, or vice versa, from Beaverton up there. And they were the first to bring it to light that we had nothing to help them make that decision other than the Strategic Reserve Fund. Ultimately, they moved them to Singapore. So these decisions are made on a worldwide basis.
Questions? Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
So, get this thing moving. The Dash 1 would be the ones to move.
I'd move the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 219.
Senator Starr has moved the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 219. Discussion on the motion. Senator Girard.
I'd like to have $2 million for my district. You know, I mean, this is just kind of a, let's fix my district and the hell with everybody else. And so I'm going to be an ardent no on this vote.
Okay. Mr. Chair?
Yes?
I don't look at it as being district specific. I have no idea if this will help any specific companies in my district. But I know that if companies and economic development is helped in other areas of the state, ultimately it ends up helping all of us. So I will be an ardent yes.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Burdick.
I'll support the amendment, but I'm going to be opposing the bill just because of the income tax sequestering fees.
Okay.
I love the bill. Vote for it.
Well, the word ardent has been overused. However, I just wish that the department had a marketing person on staff, because Oregon Business Retention and Expansion Program is far too cumbersome to put on a business card, but I will still support the bill.
Okay.
Better do it quick.
I think I asked for opposition. I have Senator Girard and Senator Burdick in opposition. Is there anybody else?
That was for the amendment.
That was for the amendment, excuse me.
I will support the amendment.
I'm okay with the amendment.
I got it wrong. Okay. So, Senator Girard is in opposition to the amendment?
No, I'm okay with the amendment.
Okay, so we have adopted the Dash 1 to Senate Bill 219 with unanimous vote. Senator Starr, would you like to move the bill?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 219 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved Senate Bill 219 as amended by the Dash 1s. Oh, excuse me, to Ways and Means, you meant, right?
Of course.
To Ways and exactly Means, as amended by the Dash 1s. Come on, let's just call the roll on this one.
Senator Burdick?
No.
Senator Edwards?
Aye.
Senator
Girard? No.
Senator Starr?
Aye.
Vice Chair Atkinson?
Yes.
Chair Beyer?
Aye.
Senate Bill 219 is passed to the passed Ways and Means. with a due pass recommendation as amended by the Dash Ones. So we'll close on 219.
That's a real shame, Mr. Chair.
That's a real shame.
If it would have been headed to the floor, we could have had our first bipartisan minority report out of this committee.
Well, we'll just kind of leave that one right there. We'll open on Senate Bill 904. Richard.
That really
Senate Bill 904 directs the Oregon Business Development Department to establish a program to allow rural airports in the state of Oregon to create airport tax increment financing districts. For the record, we have a letter from the mayor of Aurora, and in support, I believe. Looks like it's in support. We do have a fiscal of about $220,000.
So this one will have to go to the Finance and Revenue Committee, where I'm sure Senator Burdick would love to see it. Any discussion on the bill?
What?
No amendments? No amendments, but
I don't believe so.
So why revenue? Why not Ways and Means?
It had a subsequent referral on for revenue
for the President's office because it's a tax increment financing bill. Would somebody like to move bill?
Mr. Chair, I'd make the motion to move Senate Bill 904 to the Finance and Revenue Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved Senate Bill 904 to the Committee on Finance and Revenue with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on the motion. Yes.
The problem I have is that compression in property tax is a big deal. And so this bill does not address the fact that if different entities are under compression, that this still gives them the right to go ask. And I just really feel very strongly that if, because of Ballot Measure 5, compression is a big deal, and this tries to circumvent that. And there's nothing in the bill that says that you cannot be under compression to get this consideration. And because of that, I'll vote no.
Senator Girard, I think you're correct that you could get into compression, but I hope you're not saying that in some way this would allow them to get outside of the Measure 5 cap, because
no,
I don't believe that's
no,
true.
No, but what it's going to do is force other entities, taxing entities,
right.
It could force them into compression, and if they're already in compression, that money will come out of their little coffers. So the city of Aurora, which the way I read this, they weren't in support of.
Sorry.
And I know the fire district up there is not in support of. So it is a problem for other entities besides the airports. I sympathize with the plight of the airports. I think we need money for that. I just don't think this is the vehicle to do it.
Senator, I tend to agree with you on that. And the reason that I'm supporting this one this time is because it has a provision that in order to enact this, you have to have the agreement of all the local governments, which is sort of a good luck with that.
Yeah, that's true.
Senator Starr.
Yeah, I can understand Senator Strud's concerns about the bill, but I trust the local officials in those communities to understand if they're under compression, they're coming to the table. If they are, they're likely not to proceed, and the bill requires universal, unanimous agreement of all the local taxing jurisdictions that would be impacted about around the airport or in this particular zone. So I trust the local government officials that they're not going to agree to a tax increment financing plan that somehow would harm their local community.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Any further discussion? Carolyn, let's call the roll.
Senator Burdick?
Aye.
Senator Edwards?
Aye.
Senator
Gerard? Nope.
Senator Starr?
Aye.
Vice Chair Atkinson?
Yes.
Chair Byers?
Aye.
One no.
Senate Bill 904 is passed to the Committee on Finance and Revenue. We'll close on Senate Bill 904, and I think that is the end of our agenda for today. Did I miss anything?
We've got to carry over the beer time.
Senators, we are at the end of our agenda of what we can do today. We will carry over all bills on the agenda that were not worked today. So with that, we are adjourned.